People think I look very young. And I think I internalize that and I'm like, dang, like I can only make six figures if I look old, if I look like Benjamin Franklin.
Hey, me searchers, you're listening to the Me Search podcast. This is Dustin Domingo, one of your hosts. My co-host, Crystal Tugatti, is off for the day and she sends her regards, but we're still bringing you a fresh episode of the Me Search podcast today. We want to remind everybody on the show, we have critical, messy, and fun conversations with each other, with friends, and with leaders in the community. Together with you, the Me Searchers will unpack important issues, learn and unlearn what we think we know about what it means to be Filipino. And on this episode, we're reconnecting with a homie of the pod who's been on the show two times. Check out her episodes, Why Are Values and Networking Important for Young Professionals? And also, How Can We Be Authentic in the Workplace? So we are welcoming back Ariana Lila De La Rosa. Snaps, 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 snaps. Ariana is the founder and CEO of Empower First. She's a holistic career coach who empowers first-generation POC professionals, leaders, and change makers to do the inner work of healing and outer work of action to gain clarity on a fulfilling career, pursue opportunities aligned with values and identity, and advocate for themselves. So, snaps and claps.
Snaps
Welcome
and claps.
Back.
Happy to be back. Thanks for having me again.
I'm so happy you're here because, like, we go way back prior to the pod, and I'm like so happy to see your growth as like a professional and as like a human being. You're doing great.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot because you, Dustin, are one of my OG mentors, and I know that we grew a lot of like our professional development and also personal development together before I became a coach and a business owner. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to collaborate with you in this space. It's almost like a full circle moment. And yes, I'm happy to be back. I think the first episode with you was like 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it must have been like late 2020, early 2021.
Yeah. Then the last one was 2022. So happy to be back, 2024.
We're back. Okay. So tell us a little bit about Empower First, because when we spoke to you the first couple of times, this was something that you were kind of building, and now you're kind of like doing the thing. Like you've had multiple clients, many clients actually. You've helped like hundreds of young professionals. So tell us a little bit about, before we get into like what's new, remind everybody a little bit more about like what Empower First is, kind of give us a little bit of background, and then we'll dive into everything else.
Yes, thanks so much. So Empower First is my company. I am a holistic career coach for, like you said, first-gen POC professionals. And I'm really passionate about thriving in our careers in a system that was not built for us to thrive. Mm-hmm. Prior to becoming a coach, I've worked in HR, talent acquisition, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And although it was quote unquote helping people, it never really scratched this itch that coaching has done for me. And I love that I get to coach people one-on-one to transform themselves internally so that they could get the career that they desire, the promotion that they deserve, the opportunities that they want. And I've had an amazing past 4 years now, insane 4 years of coaching my community. And I'm so proud of like the 100 plus clients who have gotten careers that where they're thriving now, and also building this unshakable confidence that literally no matter what happens in their careers, they're going to be okay because they have built the confidence within themselves first. And I think building confidence is something we overlook a lot in developing our careers. There are so many how-tos, like how to job search, how to network, how to get a promotion, but there's no one-size-fits-all formula to growing your confidence as a first-gen professional. So that's what I love working on with folks. It is building their career confidence. And that is what's been happening the past 4 years, growing and developing in my business. Some really exciting news. So 2023, last year, I have reached an income greater than any 9-to-5 has given me before.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to hear that for you.
Yes.
Oh my God. Continue, continue.
Yes. So I've reached this point that really proved to me that this is my job. This is my career. It's always been like that. But I think just seeing that income and surpassing what I've made before meant the world to me. And I guess like another update too, which is a little bit more on the maybe more of like the pessimistic side, is the higher that you grow in your career, it doesn't really solve things if there's still internal shit you gotta go through.
Ooh, damn. Isn't that right though? Oh my yes. God.
So I am very, very proud of myself. Yes. So I'm very proud of myself for reaching my income goals, for making the impact that I want to make. And then after reaching that goal, the next thing I had in myself was, okay, so what's next? Okay, so that's not enough. What's this next goal we have to pursue? And I didn't like that. So yes, I feel like there are some pros and cons to growing in your career. And similar to my clients, I'm also growing too. I'm not a perfect professional. I'm just someone who wants to help folks. And I also help folks by going through the hoops and fires myself. But overall, yeah, that's Empower First. That is a celebration. And that's also something that I am learning and growing from right now.
I am sitting in so much joy right now for you, because I remember when you were at a point in your life and a point in your career when you were still working in HR, we had had a conversation and you mentioned like, I want to start my own business. And my internal feeling was a little bit of like, oh gosh, that's scary. Like for me, my thought of like starting my own business, I don't know that I have enough courage to be able to do that. And to hear that you kind of just did it, and now you're like, your income is more than comparable to what you were making working for someone else, but now this is completely your own passion, completely your own mission. That's amazing.
Thank you. It's fucking scary, y'all. I will say it. I've always been a pretty extreme person, an extreme radical person who goes against the grain. So I'm just like, it makes sense I started a business. But I will say creating a business, it is one of the scariest things you could ever do, because it's you facing your ego. It's you versus you, and trying to transform that so that it's you working with you instead.
Ooh, can you talk a little bit more about that? What do you mean working with you and working versus you?
Yeah. So in a 9-to-5, you have a boss, you have a team. There's like less attachment to your role because your boss has a bigger responsibility than you. Maybe there's a team member who's like a higher level senior than you. So you are only focusing on what you have to do, and then you can clock out and that's it. But when you have a business, you are you. You are also your boss. You are also your higher level senior coworker. It's really just you. And when you start a business, there's a tendency to be hard on yourself. I'm definitely still a little hard on myself. I catch myself sometimes, but in the beginning, for sure, you are battling some inner demons that are holding you back, that tell you that you're not good enough, that make you small. So it's funny, because even though you're not in a workplace where someone is telling you you're small, you are in your business where you are telling yourself you are small. And I had to go through a lot of that internal stuff. But thankfully, I had therapy, my support system, my resources. I had my own coach. So I invested in myself so that I could learn how to work with myself instead of against myself. And working with myself is working with all parts of me, working with my inner child who is still healing from unaddressed trauma, working with my old perfectionist high achiever self who wants to push me, but I have to tell her, like, girl, chill, we'll be okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Can we like unpack that just a little bit? Because I feel like where you and I were very much alike, at least when we first met, is like, we were very much the people who are like, we're gonna do this next thing, we're gonna kick ass. Then we're gonna do this next thing, we're gonna kick ass. I still feel like I have a little bit of that in me, but like I'm realizing now a bit more, particularly with like seeing how your career has progressed and like our conversations about like work and relationship to work, we could just, dude, chill. We can relax. Like, it doesn't have to be hustle like 24/7.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that you brought the word hustle. I hate that word. Even though at one point I was like, yes, I'm hustle queen. Now I'm like, yeah. I'm like, that makes me sick. But
I think there's a point. I think there's like maybe points in my life where I feel like there was a lot of like positive outcome from like, I'll say it again, like hustle. But what hustle means to me is like doing so much, but sacrificing a bit of yourself to be able to like reach the outcomes. But like, are the outcomes really that important? How did you come to this conclusion of like, you need to have boundaries for yourself as a business owner?
Yes. Yeah. When you are first gen, all that you were taught is to hustle. Whether that is being the best in school or also working a part-time job because you need money. And I had to, to start a business. And as someone who is anti-capitalist and likes to see things from a decolonial lens, I had to remove hustle from the equation because hustle culture is from capitalism, is from white.
God. You're so right. Say that again so people can hear that.
Yes, hustle is from capitalism and white supremacy, wanting you to always feel like you're not doing enough. You are not enough. So you have to do more. And if I'm someone who sticks with my values, then I really had to challenge hustle culture in my own business. So what does that mean, or what does that look like instead? Working hard and intentionally is how I do my business, no longer hustle culture. And to me, working hard and intentionally doesn't mean you work a lot of hours. It just means you're putting your energy in what actually matters. And everything is integrated with each other. So the things that I do that are not work-related still amplify and grow my business. Here's an example. If you are a hustle culture business owner, maybe your schedule is having 10 meetings every day, working in the weekends, because you feel like you need to do more to achieve more. The way that I worked in my business was I spent hours in nature under a tree journaling and coaching myself. I would listen to courses and podcasts while coloring a book. I would reconnect with old friends and community members and just hear about how they're doing. I would also have fun. I would go to community events, go to museums, and everything that I've mentioned, all of those things built my business. It was not working tirelessly. It was being intentional in what I was doing and seeing that every little single thing, even what I ate, how much I slept, who was in my community, all of those things impact my business. So actually, ever since I saw my business that way, working hard and intentionally, the weekends don't feel like weekends to me anymore. Every day feels the same to me. But in a good way. Like every day feels the same in that, like, oh, I wake up and I'm excited to take on the day. Because literally anything that I do will impact my business.
Yeah, it, like all of the activities that are quote unquote not, at least on the surface, business related, seem to still feed your soul and give you energy to do the, I guess, administrative stuff to keep your business running.
Yes.
I'm guessing that all of these like activities and events that you attend are like feeding your creativity to get you to think about out of the box solutions for like running your business, and also your networking with people to help like spread the word. Yes, all of this makes sense. All of this makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. For example, the concert that we watched with the a cappella group, where I saw
24
you
24 with philosophy.
Yeah, 24 with philosophy. I lost my voice that day, so I couldn't really network with people or even talk to you.
I was super excited to see you at the show. Okay, for folks who are listening, Crystal Tagati and myself came as like representatives of the MeSearch podcast to MC, to host this event. It was a concert with philosophy by the Philharmonic, and it was like a huge, very, very fun show, like packed house. And I was very pleasantly surprised to see Ariana there. Many other folks in the community who I am familiar with, acquainted with, and like are dear friends with. And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize like everybody was going to be here. It's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Super fun community event. And I saw that event as a way to feel inspired, as a way to see how you and Crystal engage with community, and how by being yourself, you can still engage with an audience. I saw that in an a cappella group, people need to listen and work with each other to produce something beautiful. So even though like people, like this is something that people can easily overlook. Again, I have worked, my business works in a way where every little single thing I do is part of my business.
Yeah. Can I also just say, like, the thought that comes to mind is like showing up to these things, or just showing up is like 90% of the work. Just being there, being present for other people, being present in the community. Because also, when we realized you were there, we like gave you a shout out and told everybody about your business. So like, those are things, like, of course, we're happy to do that. But it's like, that was an organic opportunity where people like, we were able to introduce you to folks. And I'm sure that you had an opportunity to like, reconnect with people and perhaps meet new people. But yeah, it was a very organic thing that happened where we're like, y'all need to check out Ariana. It was great. And all it took was you being there.
Yes. Just be present with what's in front of you and you will receive.
Something that you had said earlier in this conversation, with regards to like the higher you go, the more to the effect of like, you still got shit to work on. So can you say a little bit more about that and like the sentiment behind that?
Yeah. There is a saying that's also like new level, new devil.
Wait, I've never heard of that.
Really? Okay.
Wait, what, new level, new devil?
New level, new devil. And it's like, all right.
What does that mean?
It's like every time you grow, there is a harder boss.
Oh,
you
damn. Think, like, okay. Yeah, I see that.
Video games, you know? Like every time you succeed and you go to the next round, like there are new opportunities, new ways to grow, but there is an even greater boss. So I am reminded that, yeah, even though I am growing and getting all of these achievements, there is still going to be a new challenge that awaits me. And it doesn't really stop. I mean, it can stop if you want it to stop, But if you are someone who wants to continue to grow, the reality is like challenges will continue to come your way. And that is something I'm currently dealing with now. So again, like last year, I made an income higher than a 9 to 5 ever gave me. And then I have now this new challenge of, all right, I want to be a 6-figure coach. Now that is my new challenge.
Oh my
And
gosh, that makes my heart flutter. Ooh, money. Okay, go ahead, go ahead.
although that is a really exciting challenge, it is bringing forth this internal shit I need to work through, because there are ways that I'm not allowing myself to make 100K. There are ways that I am telling myself, oh, you are not good enough yet to make 100K.
Okay,
So
vulnerable question, because I see you as very much like a capable person, a very self-aware person. You are very much that. But hearing you say that there are still things that you do to sort of like self-sabotage
yeah.
is kind of conflicting with my perception of you at the moment. But thank you for sharing, because I feel like it's very real and honest. To though be successful, still feel like the world or parts of the world is either crumbling or challenging, hard to deal with. So like, what are some of the things that you are doing to yourself that you feel like you're self-sabotaging, or like the things in your
Yeah.
like daily behaviors or attitudes that you feel like you still need to overcome?
Yes. Yeah. And thank you for this vulnerable question. I am always down to answer it and just be real. So the internal stories I have as it relates to being a CEO, as it relates to making 6 figures, is you can only make 6 figures if you are a white man. And yes, I know that that's not true. And there are many people who make 6 figures who are not white men. But I wouldn't have come across this thought if I didn't have this new challenge of making 100K. Having this new challenge and have this thought come through, I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that I have internalized that only white men can easily make 100K. And I think that's the main word, easily make 100K. There have been actually this year where I kind of slipped back into hustle, because I'm like, oh, I need to hustle to get 100K. But I'm like, no, wait, Ariana, you have thrived and grown in your business just being present and listening to yourself and trusting yourself. Why does that have to change the moment that you have a new challenge? So yeah, those are the thoughts that are holding me back, is that white men are the only people who can easily make 100K. And also too, just growing up not seeing many Asian woman leaders, I have another thought that, oh, only white men can be CEOs. So I know that I don't like really fully believe in that. Again, as someone who is anti-capitalist, sees things in a decolonial way, but the truth is, we all have inner shit we got to deal with. But I'm
Yeah,
definitely
like the unlearning of all
like,
of these like social scripts and like expectations and norms of like who you ought to be based on what you look like and where you come from is still very much like an internalized thing. Like the social constructs that we live in, yes, are social constructs because like they're just ideas that we follow in society, and we just they're real because we make them real. But like, we still live in a society that operates under those like conceptualizations of like how we're supposed to be. So it's still very, very hard to like unlearn all of those things when it's very internalized and automatic.
yes. Internalized, automatic, reinforced. I'm getting really vulnerable here, but I think something that holds me back is that I look young. And I remember like someone asked, like I was going to a bar, and they were like, oh, we don't allow 18-year-olds to come in.
What? Have a check your ID? What the
Yeah,
heck?
I was like, sir, I don't know. I'm in my late 20s, but there was like something like about how I look that made people say that. And he's not the only instance of that. This has come up many times where people think I look very young. And I think I internalize that and I'm like, dang, like I can only make six figures if I look old, if I look like Benjamin Franklin. Oh
My
God.
God. You know, it's like sidetrack though. I think though it's interesting because okay, this is super sidetrack.
Okay.
We this skincare these days, it's like so advanced. So the people who are who look in their the people who are in their 20s and 30s, I mean, yes, they look their age because they're their age, but like they currently their skin is much healthier than like people from like decades past. But I get it, like there is something to people's perceptions of you based on like who you are and of course like all of these identity markers, demographic markers. Like if I saw you on the street, I probably would have thought also that you were like 18, 19, 20. And that comes with a lot of like preconceived notions about whether or not you have the capacity to run a business or be a CEO. That must be very challenging, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it is reinforced. I experience it like every other week, I feel, just reminding. Me being reminded that people see me as someone who is very young. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being young. I hope I look young forever, but what I don't like,
Same.
what I don't like are the preconceived notions people have when it comes with young people as well. So it just annoys me because one, I'm not 18. Like it's just like the fact. But also too, there are some badass young folks who are six-figure millionaires. They may not be the majority, but they exist as well. That's why Forbes 30 under 30 exists. But yeah, so that's like another internal thing that I am coaching myself through. Essentially, a lot of this is related to identity, like being young, being Asian, being a woman, like all of those things that I have grown up with and is constantly reinforced. These are the challenges that's preventing me from really owning my CEO energy. And although it sucks, I will say it's a good thing that that's the problem because now I know that that's what I'm working on. The problem is not I need to do more work. The problem is not I'm not skilled enough. Literally, the problem is I have some inner healing that I'm doing, and it's going to be continuous. So that's the cool part for me, that the money maker is the inner work. You cannot do things if you internally don't believe in yourself, don't have the confidence, haven't overcame some stuff. But yeah, those are things that I'm dealing with now. That's what I mean by new level, new devil. And I'm facing the devil of the preconceived notions of being an Asian woman. That's my devil.
You're effectively like battling this internalized negative perception of like who you are as a CEO or like who you think a CEO is supposed to be. And it reminds me of when I had been moving up in my career, I had a preconceived notion of like who is a supervisor, who is a manager, who is a director, and who is the dean or whatever in like academic spaces. And like I had a very clear perception of like who that person is. And therefore, if I'm to move into that position, I need to adopt those behaviors and attitudes. And that's not necessarily the case. I feel like a lot of my effective leadership came from me leaning into who I am authentically. And I think the same sort of lens should apply when we're talking about your own business or like being a CEO. Like, who's to say there is a right way to be a CEO per se, mm-hmm. like, or one way, I should say. There's no one way, one right way to be a CEO. And like, you can own your CEO energy and it has to be just you 100% like authentically. Like, it doesn't have to be like you changing into what you believe a CEO ought to be.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And that actually goes back to like new level, new devil. Because before having this goal of wanting to make six figures, I owned myself as a CEO. I was like confident in like how I operated, how I led. And then once this new goal came in that was bigger, then I went back and I was like,
Oh, I'm not ready for this, maybe.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. You're so ready.
So, oh, thank you. I'm bringing it into the world. No, I know internally I am ready. And there's just some things that I need to take care of within myself.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know when this podcast is going to be posted, but you best believe by then. I'm reclaiming my CEO energy.
Cheers to reclaiming CEO energy.
Yes.
Regardless of who you are and whether or not you work for somebody else, I feel like everybody needs to have their own CEO energy.
Oh, 100%. I tell this to all my clients, but I want them to have a CEO day once a week, because ultimately your body, that is your business. Mm-hmm. Your body is what's getting you money. So we're all CEOs of our own life, as cheesy as it is. But yeah, CEO day once a week. And that looks like doing whatever the fuck you want.
Oh. Yes.
Do whatever it is you want. Don't hold yourself back. Have fun. Take that class you wanted to take. Check out the event you wanted in your calendar. Do something new. Do something scary. Yeah, CEO day. Everyone's a CEO.
Yeah. Have some fun. Treat yourself. Jeez. Yes. Once a day out of your week is really not too much to ask for.
It's really very little.
And some people don't take a vacation at all every year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, ideally, yeah, we should have like more days to take care of yourself. But to help folks get started there, I'm like once a week, y'all. And then
one is great.
The more they do it, they're like, you know what? I'm going to implement more of these days. And then it becomes part of their lifestyle.
I love that. I love that. Okay, so we're reaching towards the end of our episode here. I want to ask you one final question. One final question. And that is, what is maybe one thing that you've learned from all of the clients you've coached over the last several years?
Ooh. One thing I've learned from my clients.
Yeah. Maybe like the first thing that pops into mind.
Yeah. Good question there, because of course there's a million of things, but the first thing that pops into my mind is that like it's affirming that I am humanizing self-development. And what I mean by that is I feel like when you're in a 9-to-5, like you need to develop from your manager, from a higher up, from someone who is higher up in the hierarchy. And you continuously think like, oh, even though I'm learning from this person, I'm still not good enough because I'm still technically lower than them. Mm-hmm. But I want to thank all of my clients for reminding me that we are not a hierarchy. I am merely just someone who facilitates your learning. We see each other in the same plane. We connect with each other at such a deep level. And that is how they learn. That is how they get coaches, because they feel comfortable. They feel vulnerable to just be themselves. And that is when you can learn the best, is when you are the most comfortable and vulnerable. So yeah, overall, they have taught me that hierarchy limits self-development, but what will cultivate and grow self-development is when you feel comfortable and vulnerable. And I want to thank all of them for that. That is what they taught me.
Dang, shout outs to the clients.
Yes,
I love you. Them. Okay, so actually, here's the last question. Tell us, can you please tell us where we can follow you and follow your business?
Yes, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram at empowerfirst. You can also check out my website, which launched a few months ago officially, so happy for that. My website is empowerfirstcoaching.com. And you can also follow me on LinkedIn. You can search up Ariana Lila De La Rosa, and I should be the first one to appear. But yes, follow my Instagram, LinkedIn, and check out my website, empowerfirstcoaching.com.
Yay! Thank you so much for being a guest on this show, Ariana, yet again. Always a pleasure reconnecting and chatting with you. Me Searchers, thanks for tuning in. Be a Me Searcher and follow us at Me Search Podcast, and check us out online at mesearchpodcast.com. As always, we're going to get to the bottom of things. This is Me Search, folks.
Yay!